everyone, it's Lacey Skulls from VH1's Rock of Love, and this is Talk of Love, the new podcast. This isn't just reality, this is real life.
Hey everyone, it's Lacey motherfucking Skulls, and this is Talk of Love, episode 43. I want to start out by giving you guys a quick shout out. I really appreciate you guys and your loyalty to this podcast. I know that everybody's really been giving lots of great feedback. And I just want you to know that I appreciate you guys so much. And I'm so glad you're enjoying the podcast. Now, if you haven't done so already, if you could do me the biggest favor and go ahead and smash that subscribe button on YouTube, and that'll show me that you are giving me your support. And also go ahead and click the thumbs up on the video for liking the video. And also for you Rock of Love fans, I have a big surprise for you guys. You are going to be so excited when I tell you a couple of the Rock of Love cast members that I have coming up as my guests. And I'm going to make you wait, though. So good things come to those who wait. So at the end of this episode, I will be revealing my upcoming guests, and you are going to be so excited. So last time, I had Cocktail on as my guest in the studio. And you guys know Cocktail from Bad Girls Club and for the Love of Ray J. And when she was here last week, we actually spent the entire time really diving into all of the details of the infamous canceled season 3 of I Love Money, which we were both on together. And we spent so much time on that that I promised you guys I would bring her back. And I know you guys really, really loved her based on your comments. And so I'm a woman of my word. So today we're going to talk about For the Love of Ray J and Bad Girls Club. So please welcome Cocktail, or as I know you as JoJo, but we'll, AKA Cocktail. Thank you so much for coming in again.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah.
It was like fun for me, so.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Well, it was fun for me too. And I feel like you and I just like totally get each other, and the fans of this podcast just loved watching you. And so
I'll come back every week.
Yeah, I know. So I'm so glad you're here. Mm-hmm. So because everybody enjoyed that episode so much, I invited them to include their fan questions. So I actually brought my laptop with
Woo-hoo.
Me so we can really dive into this. And it's actually helpful too, because I know these shows were so long ago.
Yeah.
So helps kind of jar your memory.
I'll do my best.
Yes.
And I'm going to be 100% honest.
Yes. Okay.
Promise.
There's going to be a pop quiz.
Pop quiz.
I'm ready.
All right. So one thing I usually ask all of my guests when they come in is one thing I'd like to know, because everybody's experiences are a little different. How did you end up in reality TV? What was your life like before this? And how, because you did Bad Girls Club first. And yeah. Then you got into Ray J. So how did that even happen? Walk us through that.
I really wanted to be on The Real World.
Like, oh, yeah?
I auditioned like 3 times. And the first 2 times, I wasn't slutty enough.
Really?
Like, what? But like, I was supposed to be on the Real World Denver. Because that was the last time that I auditioned. And then I was like, what is it? Like, what? Tell me, like, I'm coming again. Like, you guys know me. What's up?
Like, you're like a striking out at like a 3 or a 4 on the slutometer.
Right.
They needed a 10.
Exactly.
Level 10 slut.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, are you really, like, what is it? And they were like, you just weren't slutty enough. And I'm like,
they actually told you that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Which, thank God, because I'm like, okay, now I know what to say and what not to say for the next audition.
Yeah.
For when and if. And yeah, that's kind of just, because the producers of The Real World then produced The Bad Girls Club.
Oh,
so
okay.
So they called me. They ended up calling me. They were like, hey, would you be interested in doing this show? It's called The Bad Girls Club. And I'm like, that sounds fun. Like, what is that about? But that was like early 20s. And when I drank, blacked out and fought. And I was a hothead. And so I was just like, fuck it, yeah. But like the more and more they started like, kind of telling me about the show and like the kind of characters that they were going to be putting on there, I was like, well, how the fuck do I fall into place with this? Like, I need a, like, I knew, I was aware that they were going to put like a title mm-hmm. over. And apparently I replaced, I don't know if she was a porn star or a stripper, replaced one of those girls, but I ended up being the gold digger. Like, I literally had a t-shirt on at my audition. It was like, if you're rich, I'm your bitch. And I'm like, I kind of just went with it. They're like, oh, so you like to take guys with money? And I'm like, doesn't?
Right.
You know, and I'm like, well, it's more fun. And I just kind of like,
well,
went
who
with
else
it.
Is going to buy me stuff?
Right. Like, yeah, you know, I just kind of like ran with that one. And that was back then when I was like working in the nightclubs and stuff back in my hometown, like Sacramento. So that's how that came about.
Yeah, the real world, those were so much fun. Those were like the old school kind of beginning of all of these types of reality shows, like MTV, VH1.
No scripts. It was like,
yeah, a bunch of people in a house.
Yeah, like not getting along or sleeping with each other. And it was just...
Yeah, the shows were crazy.
Yeah.
Well, so I actually want to do things in reverse chronological order today and start out talking about Ray J, because I feel like we have a lot to unpack there.
Ray J.
And then, yeah, and then we'll get into Bad Girls Club at the end. So how long after you did Bad Girls Club did you get asked to do Ray J?
It was like 3 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you told me last week that somebody saw you and recognized you from Bad Girls Club at one of the nightclubs that you were at?
Yeah, it was like a scout. It was this girl. She came up to me. She's like, hey, you look familiar. And anytime anybody ever says that, I'm like, you must have seen me on America's Most Wanted. Like, I'm like, yeah.
That's like, what I always do. Like, I was on an episode of Cops.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, you look familiar. I'm like, I don't know.
It was like, wait, you were on Pants Off, Dance Off.
Exactly. And I'm like, yep. Soul Train, one of those. And she's like, hey, would you be interested in doing a dating show? And I'm like, well, who? And then she brought up Bret Michaels. And she's like, have you watched this show? And I'm like, yeah. And then I think they were having auditions for his second season then.
Okay.
And I was open to that too. I was like, okay. But she brought up Ray J and like, if I would be interested in him or to do the show. And I was like, sure. So it just kind of fell on my lap.
Yeah. And you're just like, it'll be fun, right?
Yeah.
So what were you doing right up until you got offered that show?
I had just graduated from Sac State. So I literally was like leaving my high school sweetheart, like starting a new life. I was like coming out to Vegas. Like I was in transition of like being an adult or becoming an adult. So it was like really good timing.
Yeah, it sounds like perfect timing.
Yeah. And I didn't have any strings attached. I wasn't with anyone at the time. And so I was like really into Ray.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people I know were like, is that fake? Like, was that pretend? And like,
it seems like you were, because you had a lot of emotions on that show and you were very
embarrassing. People were asking about like the first episode. I'm like, oh my God. Like everyone was like blacked out, drunk pretty much that first night. But like, I sat down with him. I don't even really remember.
Like, was this like a situation like on Rock of Love? They let us all into the house. It was just immediately alcohol everywhere.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I would imagine it was the same.
Shots, yeah. And like we all had like our one-on-ones and it was like, I don't know why or how we got into whatever he and I were talking about, but I said something that triggered his emotions for like his grandma at the time passing away.
Mm.
Like,
and that wasn't even planned.
No. And I felt horrible because I'm like, that wasn't even my intention. Like, I felt bad that I even like made him feel like that. And like, even if you like look back on the first episode, his body language is like,
oh.
And I'm like leaning forward, like all like thirsty, like all like, and like just like ready to cry. And I'm like, oh my God, how embarrassing. But
so that just kind of happened. Yeah. So actually, that was one of the questions Natalie Bowman asks in the first episode. You're talking to Ray and you start crying. And was this like a strategy or no, you were just feeling overwhelmed in the moment. And especially, so you were picking up on the fact that he was like, uncomfortable with what you guys
and he
were talking about.
And he said something like, oh, you're going to like, oh, my grandma, or you're going to make me upset, or however they edited, whatever. But I remember him being upset and I got him upset. And I'm like, shit, I'm going to be sent home. Like,
ugh.
How did I make him feel like that? Like, how did I bring up some like raw emotion for him to be like, okay, this is too soon. Like, I just fucking met you. And like,
oh God. So it was like that combined with the alcohol and just the intensity of the situation just made you emotional.
Oh my God.
That makes sense. So I have to interject because that completely reminds me of a story when I was like 17 or 18. I talk about this all the time on the podcast. I'm a huge, huge fan of Nine Inch Nails.
Uh-huh.
And I love Trent Reznor. And I've always just been a huge fan of his. I've actually met him a few times and he's always been really, really nice and like very normal, like much more normal than you would think the singer of Nine Inch Nails would be.
Yeah.
But I remember the very first time I ever met him, I knew I was going to meet him and I was so young. And so I was trying to think of something to say as I was like, hey, I'm a big fan of yours.
Right,
you know,
an icebreaker.
And so I knew this other musician that I was like kind of friends with. I kind of knew. And that guy used to brag about being friends with Trent Reznor. And so I was like, ooh, I'll bring that up. Like, we have a mutual friend, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So when I finally got to go over to Trent and talk to him, and I was like, hi, my name's Lacey. Nice to meet you. I was like 17 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, you and I have a mutual friend. And he was like, yeah, who's that? And I said the guy's name. And all of a sudden, it was just like how you described Ray J. Like his whole demeanor changed. He got like very uncomfortable, and like upset looking. And he's like, yeah, that guy fucked my girlfriend. I was like, oh no. Like abort conversation.
Psych, and I was kidding.
Like, I know. He's like, yeah. And he got like visibly angry just by thinking about that guy fucking his girlfriend.
Oh,
he's like,
God.
Yeah, he completely ruined my relationship with this girl that I really
Stop.
Liked. I was like, nice to meet you.
Okay.
Whoops.
You're like, I'll be a better friend to you. I don't know.
I promise I won't fuck your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or if I do, I'll invite you.
Right. You'll be included. So.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it was kind of like the same thing. It's like, oh, how do I get out of
first
this?
First impression.
Oh, man.
Like, that's tough.
That really sucks. So it makes sense why that would make you emotional because you're like, damn it. So.
And people, you know, see. I mean, we spent more time than whatever was filmed at the time. So it's like people see that first episode. They're like, whoa, too soon.
Right.
You know, but like, you know, when you're like in it and being filmed, it's like there's more time invested in all of that. It's not just like the, hey, first like 10 minutes in the house. And it's like we're talking
about.
Yeah,
it's like hours.
Yeah, hours. Yeah. And mm-hmm. it was like another, we had like I think we went to the nightclub first where we first met him. But I had met him prior, like at another nightclub, like. We had mutual friends also. So it wasn't like he was unfamiliar. I was just like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like too awkward, I guess.
What were your first impressions when you first walked into the house? Like when you were kind of like sizing up all the other girls and then when you first met Ray J and you're checking him out. Like what was your first impression of all of this?
I didn't know what to think really because I wasn't trying to... like, not intimidate myself, but I didn't want to, like, I remember staring at the girls and thinking, like, oh, she's pretty. Like, maybe, like, not his cup of tea. But then again, you never know, like, what
right.
the guy's going to be into or what
right.
they, whatever he's feeling. So I felt like I didn't think that there was a lot of girls that looked like me, as, like, shallow as that sounds. But there was another girl at the time. She was Puerto Rican. And I remember I was like, she's gorgeous. Like, she's going to win the show. Like, in my head, I'm like, oh, God, she's going to win it. Like, she's so cute. And then a couple of the other girls, too, I was like, oh, she's really hot. But, like, I wasn't too intimidated to where it was, like, fucking with me to where it made me second guess my actions and my
right,
intentions.
Right.
But,
that's good.
Yeah, because it's like, you're on a show and you're going to share a boyfriend. Like,
right.
Like in real life, you'd be like, fuck no.
Right.
You know what
of
I'm
course,
saying?
Of course, yeah.
But it's like in that situation, in those circumstances, it's like, okay, I could share with her. She's hot. Like, okay, fine. You know, like she kisses him and then I kiss him. Like it is weird, but.
It is incredibly weird if you really
right?
think about it. I mean, there's no other situation in all of life where that's how you date. You
right.
know? I mean, when we all first get into relationships, we know you don't have a monogamous relationship right out the gate. So when you're just
right.
kind of like dating, you know, maybe you're dating like one or two people and then you figure that he or she is dating a few people, you know. But
right.
imagine if you did all of that simultaneously in the same night, like instead of him dating you on, taking you on a date on Monday night and taking another girl out on a Thursday night, maybe taking
right.
somebody else out on a Saturday. Like, no, let's just bypass that. Let's just all at the same time.
Let's all live together and watch each other like build relationships. Yeah. Like
yeah.
I remember he would be talking to one of the girls and I would just like come up and like hug him from behind. And I was just like looking at the girl like, so I'm like, God, like. So stressful back then, but
yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's
yeah,
so
it's amazing how much that we all are willing to kind of change our own standards for a situation
yeah.
like that. But see, for me, that's why it was always confusing to me how some of the other girls, like from Rock of Love, specifically Sam from season one Rock of Love, who I brought on this podcast,
mm-hmm.
and you can watch her as she's going through season one and she's talking to Brent and she's like, you know, I really, really like you. I can feel I'm like falling for you. Mm-hmm. But like watching you make out with all these girls is devastating. And you know, I was thinking when I went on that show, I wasn't really in it for like for the feels with Brett Michaels because I knew in real life, there's no freaking way I could be cool with that. Like, I'm right. married now. If my husband was, like, making out with all these other chicks right. right in front of me, I'm like, okay, you're all going to die now.
Right.
You know? And so it makes sense, like, why, like, Sam got really jealous feeling. Because, like, of course, if you really have feelings for somebody, that's not okay to right. watch them do that. But that's why I always kind of just did this character thing just to protect myself from all yep. of that emotionally. I never understood how girls would go on these shows and really put really. Themselves out there. But it sounds like in your situation, maybe you weren't intending to right out the gate. And sometimes your heart just wants what it wants when you start feeling, because you did start to feel feelings for him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So were you expecting that was going to happen?
I mean, I didn't think that I was going to love him, end up loving him the way that I did, but my intentions were to like win the game. It's a competition.
Right.
You know, so the more time we spent together and the more towards the end, and even after I won, it was like, I was never like, oh, he's 100% mine. I wasn't yeah. like, we're going to get married and have kids now. You know, I was just like, okay, like this could work. Like I could see myself with him, you know? Yeah. And he even said that a couple times during filming too. He was like, you know, I really felt like I was with my girl tonight. Like she could be my girl. And you know, like I feel like whenever, I don't know, a lot of people have this like, how do I say this? Like, I don't know, like maybe you could word it. Because like when you had your one-on-ones, it's like you could feel that it's like either mutual or fake or forced. Mm-hmm. But with him, it was very like organic. It was very like comfortable. And like I felt like I was like dating somebody.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not like I was like forcing myself to like make out with him, or it just kind of naturally
happened.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. It 100% makes sense. And it's, you know, even if you don't expect it going on, you spend that much time around them.
Yeah.
And then they're, you know, they're famous for a reason. They're charming. They're good looking, you know.
And they're actors. Hello. It's like fucking they know how to like, you know, make you believe or make that moment even more special or whatever tone or whatever it is that they have to say to make you feel like all wooed. So it's like,
yeah. And then of course you're like, well, I know this is a TV show, but what if, like, right. could I see myself with them? Or what if this turns into, or what if I'm the exception, even though this is a TV show, what if he like falls for me?
And, right.
you know, I can imagine all those thoughts.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get into some more fan questions. Yeah. Okay. So Amir, I think I said it right this time. Amir always has great questions and I always mess up Amir's name, but not today. How much of the lie detector test episode was real? And were you legitimately nervous during that challenge, or was the whole thing kind of a little bit more staged? Mm. Do you remember the lie detector?
Yes, challenge? I do. I didn't have anything to hide. So I'm like I mentioned before on the last podcast, I'm like an open book. Like if you're dating me, like I'm going to tell you more than what you anticipate or expect. So it's like, any questions that they had for me, because we wrote each other's questions. Like, I think it was Danger that they were asking. They were like, what was it that I asked her? And everybody was like, oh shit. And it was like, have you ever had sex for money? And she was like, yes. But she was like 100% truthful, you know?
Oh,
so it's
wow.
like big props for her. But
yeah.
it's like, no, you know, it was like no filter. Everybody answered, I think, as honest as we were. So it was like interesting to watch that. But like, yeah, I didn't have anything to hide. So it was kind of like, I'm not nervous, but still like you're in a room, you're being filmed and they're asking you like these crazy questions that it's like, I think anyone would be nervous to answer
right.
whether you were on TV or not.
It's yeah, like, that's what I was thinking, because I recently rewatched Flavor of Love season one mm-hmm. and they had to do a lie detector test there in front of Bridget Nielsen, of all people.
Jesus.
I love Bridget Nielsen, but holy shit, she's intimidating.
Right.
So, and that would be like the one person you don't want to have do the lie detector
right.
test in front of. But, you know, I would like, I have never taken a lie detector test before, but, you know, I would imagine that even if my plan was to be truthful, just the fact that you're going like, okay, what questions are coming up?
Right.
And how is this going to make me look? And how am I being judged right now? I would feel like you would be nervous just based on what questions are going to come up. And then like, oh my God, is my heart beating? Oh my God, am I going to fail this even though I'm not really lying? Like,
well, I didn't know until after they aired the episode was that the guy was behind us going like this or like this. Oh. Like if we were lying or truthful, you know? So it was like, question after question. And even then, like the way they edited all that, it's a lot of the times like the guy was like, so you didn't know who he was saying like thumbs up or thumbs down to.
Right. Was that accurately depicted in the editing? Like, was he doing thumbs ups and thumbs downs with you the way he should have? Or did he like fudge any of them? Not him per se, but did they in editing make it look like he gave a thumbs down and maybe really he gave a thumbs up?
Maybe not with me, but maybe with the other girls that were like eliminated.
I was wondering that. Yeah. How long was the whole lie detector test? Like, how long were you in there?
How long were you strapped in there?
Right.
Shit. I don't know. Maybe like half hour.
Yeah, that's a good amount of time.
Yeah, and it was crazy questions. It was like her like asking us the questions and like next to Ray and like the guy was behind us. So it was like,
I mean, that's an intimidating situation.
Yeah, it was like a fucking basement too. So it was like,
it's like a dungeon.
Yeah. It's like, what's going to happen to me after this if I'm not truthful? You know, it's like, oh shit.
They should have had her come out in like a dominatrix
outfit. Yeah, exactly.
Like with her whip. You don't answer the question.
Now you must die.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Didn't you fear that like, because you had nerves, even though you knew you were telling the truth, were you like, oh God, my nerves are going to set this damn lie detector off?
Maybe. You're
feeling good about it?
Yeah, I was feeling good about that.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any like challenges until like the very end that I was like, oh shit, he's not going to pick me.
Yeah.
So
you were feeling pretty good through most of it. Well, that's good.
I mean, that sounds really cocky.
No,
you know,
it doesn't. No, confidence is confidence. Yeah. And, you know,
I guess in my heart, I felt like it was mutual. You know?
Clearly your intuition was spot on. So, you know, you made it to
I
the
fucking
end.
Won.
So, right? So, okay, what else we got here? This is a good one. So Hallie Phillips asks, was Unique really as awful as she was portrayed on TV? And also, are you still friends with Chardonnay? So yeah, what were
Chardonnay.
What were your whole feelings on Unique?
Then I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like I think it was somewhere in between filming. We like all went to eat and I forget where she was from, but she had a really big, she had a moment where she was like, we were all eating lunch. And she like looked around and she's like, this is so weird to me. And I'm like, what? It's like, it was culture shock to her because wherever she's from, she's like all these people of like different races hanging out with one another. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, there's like an Indian guy over there hanging out with a black guy.
You guys are in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's LA like and New York are like totally melting pot, which is why I like both places.
1,000. And I don't know any different. So I was like so blown away her.
And she
like,
specifically brought up race.
Yeah.
What a weird thing to even notice.
Right.
Wow.
And you know, like us being raised in like LA and California, it's like, what are you talking about? But like, I didn't even think then. So when that happened, I was like, there's no way she could be good for Ray.
Because
right. He's like, you know, he traveled the world and like, she can't be closed-minded. Like back then I was like, yeah. She's so naive. Like there's no way that would even work out.
Right.
But she was like really reserved and like a lady. But yeah, I mean the show like brought out or made you seem like a certain way or the character or however they portrayed you. But she was cool. Besides like, she wasn't like really like crazy or someone that I would like talk shit about.
Yeah.
So I would truthfully answer that question to say no. Like, I feel like they made her look like this like crazy girl that was like going off on Monica Danger.
Yeah.
No reason. But I see the episodes now and I think back, I'm like, holy shit, that is crazy because Danger then came off like really crazy to us. But mm-hmm. when everything filmed, it was like, oh shit, like, maybe we're the crazy ones. You know, it was like, well, were we tripping or was she tripping?
Was it like with Unique, was it like a situation where they would, in editing, they would change the context of it sometimes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes I noticed they did this on Rock of Love a few times too and some of the other shows. They'll show somebody like flipping out, but they don't really Well, if I knew the whole story, I'd go like, oh, well, I would be flipping out too.
Right.
But they kind of just isolate that. So it looks like, oh, they just like flip out for no reason.
Right.
So,
or even like get the voiceover from like another time.
Yeah.
And like throw that in there. Because on one of the episodes, I noticed that when me and him went on a date, the way they did all of that, we were wearing the outfit from the night before, but then they played like another clip that they were, it was weird. It was like,
they like changed the timing of like,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I didn't notice that until watching it just recently.
It sounds like you guys had a little bit more editing than some of the other, like Rock of Love and Flavor of Love. I felt like we're not so heavily edited.
Yeah.
But it seems like you guys' season was a little bit.
Yeah. Because I felt like maybe there wasn't enough drama or enough dirt on a particular girl to make her look bad, or like however the story would line up for that to make sense, I guess.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. And then, and also about Chardonnay.
Oh my God. When was the last time I even talked to her? Maybe on Instagram, but we haven't kept touch.
Yeah.
Like I would have loved to, because I know she has a daughter now.
Oh, she does?
Has kids now. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So like, I think someone recently just sent me her profile and I haven't messaged her, but like now I have like access to her, I guess, if I want to like DM her.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know if her number's still the same, but
yeah,
that would be fun.
I've noticed it's really hard for everybody after so many years. I feel like we all get to know each other. We're like, oh my God, friends for life, you know?
Right.
And then you leave and then everybody flies home to a different area of the country and then you get back into your normal life and it's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that's one great thing about staying connected on like Instagram and stuff like
that.
So
you could just pop up and not be creepy about it. Like on Facebook or IG. You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, ooh, this is a good one. M. Carver says, the moment between you and Ray J after you won the group singing contest. Oh, yeah. When he was singing to you on the piano.
Yeah.
You got emotional there as well.
Yeah. I'm just a sucker for anyone that like serenades me or like does anything so sweet. Because like even with this song, like it was just like, look, he was like, because I look back at the episode and I was like, he was looking into my eyes and I'm like, what the fuck am I saying? But it was for real because he literally was like making me think like he's really fucking singing to me, you know?
Yeah.
So again, he's an actor. So I was like convinced.
Well, also he's a musician and music is specifically designed to invoke emotion.
Right.
Like that is kind of the whole point of music.
I cry during car commercials.
Yeah, I know.
So please believe like you could move me in any way. Like,
right. Yeah. Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah.
This pet is going to die if you don't give us money.
Donate all your money.
Yeah. Okay. Sarah McLachlan, don't kill the kitten. Sarah McLachlan is actually a very great person. We just painted her in the most horrific way. It's what we do here. But it's good to know all this because it's hard to know on these shows like who is actually like has crocodile tears or who is just, you know, using emotion for the sake of like strategy and getting ahead or manipulation or whatever. So it sounds like you were just as caught off guard by your own emotions as everybody else was. So that was like really genuine. So
yeah. And
cool.
I remember even that night, I think I had like whatever solo I had on stage or whatever my part of what I was supposed to perform for him. It was kind of like a rap or maybe like something that rhymed and I wrote it down and then I swear to God it was producers that took it away. Like I put my paper down.
Oh no.
And I turned around and I'm like, there's no fucking way these girls would have taken it. Like I was like, where the fuck is it? And nobody looked suspicious, I guess. And I'm like, so I wasn't trying to be this fucking crazy bitch. Like, who stole my shit?
Right.
Because I'm notorious for like having my keys or my phone in my hand and I'm like, who the fuck took my phone? I'm like, oh, here it is. Or where the fuck are my keys? And I'm like, in my pocket.
Yeah,
I'm like,
literally
idiot.
Holding it. I'm totally, where's my sunglasses? Oh, they're on my head.
On my fucking head. Like, yeah. So even then I was like, I should have made a big deal for like TV purposes, but I didn't. And I ended up winning that challenge. And I really was like,
nice. Yeah.
Like I really felt, I was really like in the moment.
I'm like
into like the moment type feel.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I like that. That's awesome. Okay. So Daniel Thoreau, I always love Daniel's questions. He always has good ones. Okay. Yeah. So you brought up danger a few minutes ago. So Daniel says, we definitely got to know about your take on danger, how you felt about, that's a two-part question. Yeah, let's talk about danger. That was some craziness.
So then I was like, whoa, because the very first time I met her was when we were all put in a room and they were telling us kind of like rules and regulations of like what we were going to expect and get into this van and blah, blah, blah. So I like looked over and there's this beautiful girl with a tattoo on her face. And I'm like, she's hardcore. Like she's the real deal. Like, right? Oh shit, you know, like beautiful girl, but she has this like Tyson tattoo. And I'm like, bro, she means business.
Right.
Like, holy shit.
No fucking around.
Right. Right.
So a tattoo on the face. Yeah. You know, it's the real
she's
deal.
She's committed.
She like, is committed.
Wow. Yeah. I was like, okay. So
she's like, I put ink on my face, bitch.
Right. Like, what the fuck am I capable of doing to you?
Right.
You know? So I was like, oh shit, looking around and like, I don't know. I was kind of intimidated because she was very confident. But again, she was probably like the only one that I was like, no, she's not gonna make it till the end. She kind of did.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Again, you never know going into these like situations. And then I think I saw like a video or something of her recently and she's like still her same self. So,
oh yeah?
Yeah.
So very much like how she was on the show.
Yeah.
Seems to be. That's just.
And I never got to know her otherwise or separately from the show. So it's like, I don't know, maybe because I was like in competition then I had like my opinion or whatever, you know, judging her. But
it seems like you handled all these crazy ass bitches a lot better than it came across, not how it came across, how you handled them, but just how the girls came across to the viewers. You know, they're watching these girls and they seem just so out of their minds.
Right.
And you seem relatively unbothered.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I kind of just, maybe Bad Girls Club's like set me up for that.
Yeah. It was, you it was know? Your warm up.
So, yeah. It was my warm up. It's like, you know, I was in a house with these girls for months and months. And then it's like, I'm putting this situation with like, who's going to win over the boyfriend,
right?
You know, and it's like,
as opposed to like, who's going to stab me in my sleep?
Right, exactly. Sleeping next to my enemy, you know? So yeah, I wasn't surprised or shocked or anything. So
nothing really got you super rattled as far as the girls?
No. I mean, we all did question why Danger was so close. Like why... You know, when I think we went on a date, all of us went on a date. We went out on a yacht or this big boat, whatever. And they were like all booed up. Like they've known each other for years. And we were like,
what's going on?
Yeah, when did that happen? Like, but turns out, I guess like she was like going into his room and like, you know, like catching up with him when everyone was asleep, whatever.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So they had this little like DL bond or whatever. Or maybe they knew each other before the show, but. We were all kind of like, how the fuck is she doing that? Or
yeah,
why or what?
So he was definitely sleeping at the house.
Yeah.
That's interesting because Bret Michaels didn't sleep at the house on our show. Yeah. And I heard that Flav did here and there, not consistently, but he did sometimes. And apparently Chance and Real on Real Chance of Love, they were there all the time. So Ray J was there all the time.
Yeah, he had his own room.
Interesting.
But after certain hours, they would like lock the room. So I don't know if he would leave or if he was just like locked in there. I don't know.
Yeah, and so you guys didn't realize that Danger was kind of like...
No.
She'd probably wait till you guys were... So when you guys woke up, was she not in her bed or would she come back?
Maybe both. Like I didn't really like pay attention to see if she was like in her bed, but we definitely found out later on that's what was happening. So it was like,
you're like, that seems like,
yeah. And I'm like, what a great idea. Like, how the fuck didn't I think to be
I
like
that?
Hey,
hello.
Yeah, hello. Like, yeah. Let's have a little side conversation.
Well, especially when the only way you get to spend time with them otherwise is by like winning these damn challenges.
Right.
And if you don't get to win a bunch of challenges or if somebody else is winning a bunch of challenges and stuff, then it's like you got to figure out.
Or like even the camera crew would get pissed because, you know, we would have like our little side conversations when the camera wasn't there. And they're like, you have to wait. And it's like, no, like I'm asking him this question because I like want to, not because it's for show.
Right.
You know, so they were like, well, you know, we have mics behind your bed. So like if we would try to whisper, do you remember they did that on I Love Money too? They were like, turn the fucking lights on. Like
they come running in.
Yeah, like, if you like started, we were like, getting in trouble, like our fucking parents, like after hours or something, and you're like whispering, and they're like, we could fucking hear you, and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, because the producers didn't want us strategizing,
right,
if it wasn't on camera, because then if some shit went down, the audience who's watching the show wouldn't know, like, well, why is that happening like that?
Right.
So I remember on Rock of Love, there'd be times where I'd want to talk to the girls, but not have it be like a part of the show.
Yeah.
And I would literally just have to get pieces of paper and handwrite notes. How like funny. Passing notes like in school.
Right.
That was the, like if the cameras weren't there, we knew the microphones
like
were always there.
Shit, you're
right.
All.
I know. Yeah. Morse code.
What the hell? Like so much pressure.
Yeah. It's crazy. So how did you feel about Ray J's mom saying no to you, Unique and Danger, when you had dinner with his parents?
This is Norwood.
Yeah. And did you feel intimidated by her?
Hell yeah.
I would imagine so.
She's like, and I love her, Sonia. She was just, even when we weren't filming, it's like you sensed her presence in the
yeah.
room. And, you know, I feel like now that I'm a mom, it's like I'm aware of
you
that.
You get it.
I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I can imagine my toddler son being an adult and then going on this, like, you know, it's like your son's going to like date this girl, but it's like national television and it's like, like, what are you portraying? Like, don't make my son look bad type deal. You
yeah.
know? So, she was very intimidating in like a mama bear way. But now that I'm a mom, I get that.
Yeah.
But like, I respected her and everything that she had to say. So like, I feel.
Was that frustrating though when she said no to you guys?
Yeah. But I feel like she didn't say no in front of everybody. Like she wasn't like, no, 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 you know, but I feel like we kind of caught that vibe. Like, you guys are good.
Like, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
well, usually people like that, no one's good enough for
right.
their kids. So
and even thinking back to I remember he kind of brought up like, well, you didn't even like my ex-girlfriend. And she's like, which one? And he's like, he said something, some inside joke or something with her. And she goes, oh, like she realized who he was talking about. So even then he's like, Mom, like you're not cutting me slack. Like, hello, you didn't like any of my real girlfriends, let alone
right.
these girls that I'm on the show with. That I'm gonna date or whoever,
yeah.
whatever. But
yeah. And then from the parents' perspective, you're like, who would come on a show? Like back to what you and I were talking about at the beginning of this, like voluntarily put themselves in this dating situation where, you know, everyone's making out at the same time.
Yeah.
And like your cameras are rolling, you're gonna be seen, and you still wanna date under those crazy ass circumstances.
Right.
You know, so you go like, well, what kind of person wants to form a relationship based from that?
Right.
So
right. But I feel like even mentally, like going into the show, it's like you already like are in that mindset to be okay with it.
Right.
You know?
I agree. I totally agree.
Because back then I feel like we were the first like dating. I don't even think Bachelor was like a thing back then, was it?
I don't think it was as huge. I actually don't know when Bachelor started.
I don't know.
But it was either like right around the same time or maybe slightly after, but I was watching these like 30-minute shows like Elimidate and stuff like that, which weren't technically reality shows.
I was on Elimidate.
You were on Elimidate?
That was the very first like show I ever fucking did.
Amazing.
I was like 21 and like we auditioned for it and I was the one girl with the three guys that had to pick like the one at the end.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
That was my very first like dating show that I ever did.
That is hysterical. My very first show ever was, I shouldn't be saying this right now because someone's going to go and find it and I'm going to be super embarrassed. I was on a show called Texas Justice. And
what
this is when I was living in Dallas. I grew up in Dallas and I ride horses. And I was working at this equestrian facility where I had been teaching lessons and they basically paid me at the end of every month. And then the woman who managed this barn was like a big coke whore and she like, you know, all of the money that she was making off these lessons, instead of paying the people who were teaching the lessons like myself, she was just like snorting it all. And so at the end of the month, I was leaving that barn and going somewhere else and she owed me money. So it was like a substantial amount of money and she just like didn't have it, wasn't going to pay it and all that. But I knew she had money because she's literally running this equestrian facility.
Yeah.
So I filed a lawsuit of like a small claims court.
Good for you.
And it was just supposed to be just like a regular, you know, small claims thing.
So was it like a mini like reality show?
Yeah. So what happened was this court TV, it was like, you know, there was like Judge Judy and there was like a million spinoffs of these like court TV shows.
Right.
So there was one in I don't know if it was national or if it was just like in the state of Texas. I think it was national, but it was so funny because it was called Texas Justice. And the judge literally has this like big, ridiculous, like 10-gallon, you know, cowboy hat and the belt buckle and the Texas accent. And in the intro, he like gallops up on a horse. He's like, this is Texas Justice.
That's hilarious.
And so this show found out about my little small claims. And they're like, hey, do you want to do this court TV show? Because if you, whether you win or lose, you'll still get paid. And then plus we'll pay you for this. And we'll fly you out and put you up and you can bring guests. And like just had all these perks.
What?
I was like 20 years old. And
you're
I was like,
sure.
Okay.
Let's do
so
it.
So I went on and I won my case. And it was, so
good
I was
for
on
you.
Texas Justice was my introduction
How
to
cute.
Television. It was really funny. I was
Is
like
it on YouTube?
Baby. I don't know. I would imagine it's somewhere.
I feel like people are just finding everything on YouTube now. Like
it's really impressive. It might be up somewhere, but it
How
was like
cute.
The most ridiculous show. But yeah, so
it's funny. I didn't even like think about like your very first show. Like that's yeah. funny that you even said Eliminate. I'm like, I was on that
Eliminate.
Show.
I want to say somebody else from the Of Love. I want to say like. Was it 12 pack? There's been a few people that have been on shows like that.
Oh my
which I think
God.
And I remember there was like the fifth wheel, I think was what it was
yeah,
called.
Yeah, how like they would come off the bus and
yes.
be like, it give you like little profile rundown of what they were into or what
yeah.
they did.
Those were fun shows.
Those were, yeah,
I
they
think
were
that's,
fun.
That's like what mentally got me ready for like these
Same.
Of Love shows because they were really fun. I used to watch those. They'd be at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd watch them before I used to go to bed.
Same.
So,
oh my God.
Yeah,
they need to bring those back. Wouldn't those, that be like fun
that
to
would
do?
Be super fun. I know. I mean, love that, it that you were part of that. So.
Yeah, but like I totally forgot had you not set a date. Like it didn't even like trigger anything. It's
that's
been so long ago.
That's so funny.
That's crazy.
I love it. So let's get into some more fan questions. Ooh, this is a good one. Okay, so Lil Hood. I know mm-hmm. Lil Hood not just from our season three of I Love Money.
Uh-huh.
But after that, Lil Hood, I know her as Chelsea. She actually was my roommate after I Love Money for a little while.
Oh.
Yeah, she lived with me for a few months. She was moving to Los Angeles from, where was she moving from? I should know this. Florida? She was moving to LA. She didn't have a place yet. And so I had an extra room. I was like, well, you can stay with me for a couple of months until you get your shit
Aww.
Situated. Yeah. And she was really like cute and fun to live with. And
yeah,
I really liked her. I still like her. She's a good girl. But what's funny is going back and rewatching some of these clips, like the clip of her like doing like the whole rap. That was so funny. Cause that's just like, that's not how I know her to be,
right.
you know? And it's so funny seeing her in that element. Cause I just don't know her to be like that. It was really cute.
I'm
and funny.
Like thinking back of like what everybody did. And it was, yeah, like you said, it
that was,
like, was
so funny.
I like that. She was like that. You
she
know?
Was going for it.
Yeah.
I dig it. So, so this question is, do you feel bad about instigating the argument between Lil Hood and Ray J, which ultimately led to Lil Hood quitting the competition? The squeaky wheel gets the oil.
How funny. Absolutely not. Back
yeah.
then. Only because if
it's a competition.
Yeah, it's a competition. If I can get you to feel a certain kind of way, whether I'm like manipulating you or not, it's like, you know, Ray then saw it as like, oh, she's not willing to stay. If she's bothered by something else, like, why isn't she going home? Because I'm sending her home or for like another personal reason.
Yeah.
Like if she's gonna like give up. Like in the middle of this competition, like then she's not the one for me. Like I don't like a quitter,
right?
You know,
right.
so
yeah.
I looked at it like that, but if it
yeah.
was like real life or something, I feel like, I mean, I'm not. That's not who I am. That's not how I am.
Of course, but this is a competition.
Yeah.
So it's like you do what you can.
Yeah.
You know, my expression that I said over and over and over again on Rock of Love is knock them out one by one until they're all gone. That
I
was
like
always
that.
My thing. So like whatever means.
Right.
You know.
Whatever it takes.
Right. So, okay. So, okay. Everybody wants to know about the reunion for season two. So
oh
we got,
my God.
Everybody was asking about that. So we got to get into that. So first of all, did Ray J strap in? I know. So did Ray J know that you were going to be showing up? Because it seemed like he
no.
was legitimately pissed.
He was.
Yeah.
So they offered him, after I won the show, they offered him a show with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or season
oh, really?
Two for
okay.
Ray J. So he obviously picked season two for Ray J. And I think he was honest with me. He told me, he's like, hey, like, this is what they put on my plate. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And even then, we were on tour for such a long time on his tour bus that it was like, I was like butthurt about it. I was like, wait a minute, what? You know, I was like, but I thought we had something. I don't know if I thought it was going to last forever or like.
Yeah, what happened after? Before we get into that, let me backtrack for a second.
Yeah.
What did happen after at the end of season one? Like, did you guys continue talking?
Yeah, we went on tour like right away. It was we were on his tour bus for like months, it felt like.
When you say we, you mean you and him?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So
that was like real, like for real dating.
Yeah.
I mean, you were living with him on his tour bus
literally
for months.
Yeah. And
wow.
If we weren't on the bus, we were in hotel rooms. So we were in different cities and different states.
That is hardcore. That's definitely way more than anybody did with Bret Michaels or with Flavor Flav. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, we were together like all day, every day for a very long time.
Oh my God. So of course you would get incredibly attached to him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of people like still like, was that real then? And I'm like, yeah. Like I still care about him. Like in a like, I'm like, oh, like I like wish him well. You know, he has his own family and stuff now.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So.
But in the moment, it seems like that actually could be something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And if it wasn't like, you know, romantic, we definitely were like really good friends. We were like, he was my best friend, you know? So we were like confiding in one another. But.
So then what happened after the tour?
I don't even remember. I think it was like over and he told me about the show.
Were you pretty hurt by that?
I mean, then yes. Now no, like be about it, you know, put yourself out there,
right?
Do whatever it takes to further
your
career.
In the moment.
Emotionally I was hurt. Not surprised. But
so you were thinking there was a chance that you and him might have a show together, kind of like how Bridget Nielsen and Flav had Strange
Love.
Yeah.
The fact that he brought it up, it wasn't like they brought it up to me and him together, but mm-hmm. he told me that and then I think the more and more I thought about it, like the possibility of us really like being this power couple or whatever I thought we were going to with the show happening, shoulda, coulda, woulda type thing, you know? So
then after the tour, did you like talk to him on the phone and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we kept in touch. And then I remember the producers were like, hey, we want you to come on the show. And I'm like, come on season two to pick his next girlfriend? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Brutal.
I was super salty. I was
of
like,
of course you were.
Anybody
would be.
Yeah. So I was like, no. And they were like, shit. So, you know, they got all the other girls. Like, I think Charnay went on there. Danger went on there. But I didn't. And then they called me back again. They were like, would you come on the reunion? And during that time, I wasn't talking to Ray. So when people are asking, like, was that a real reaction? Like when you went on stage and when he walked off, that was all real. 100%.
So was it a situation where like you guys kind of slowly just fizzled out?
Yeah.
Before, or was it like he was ghosting you and not returning your phone calls?
It kind of fizzled out. And then.
But you were still hurt because he wasn't pursuing you as much.
Yeah.
After the tour that he took you on.
He got really busy and then doing his season two.
And just got kind of distant.
Yeah.
So. And I'm sure once you found out, hey, I could have done a show with you, but instead I'm actually doing Ray J 2.
So I was like,
that had to sting.
Yeah, I was like resentful. So I don't know. I just, I came on his reunion for season two to basically tell him how I really felt. And yeah, no, those tears were real. And it was like him leaving the stage, like I felt fucking stupid, you know, at the time. And then,
That's kind of a cop out for
yeah.
him just to leave the stage.
But then his mom came out and she's like, yeah. Joanna. And I'm like, Mrs. Norwood. Like that shit was real. I'm like, sorry. She's like, get off the stage. And I was like fucking devastated because I didn't think he was going to walk off. And I didn't think he was going to say the things that he said. And like one of the things that he said was, I would have paid you to stay home. So it's like, you know.
Like insinuating that you were doing this for money or something?
Right, right.
Could he not wrap his bringing around the fact that like, of course you had gotten attached to him during, especially if it'd be one thing if you had just done season one and then that was it. But the
right.
fact that like he took you on tour and didn't he fly you to LA or didn't he come
yeah.
to like Las Vegas to see you? And like
yeah.
you guys were flying back and forth and everything.
Yeah, it was.
And then he's awful. Wondering like, why are you not okay with this?
It was more like, how could you embarrass me like this? I think it was.
By calling you out.
Yeah. And he was like, nobody invited you. Like, this is my show. Like, what the fuck are you doing here? And I was basically there to like sabotage the whole mood. You know, it was like his time, his moment to shine. And I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't like her. You did this with me and you didn't go do that with her. And why? It was just a woe is me moment. But no, those tears and me really being like, I fucking loved you. And like, And then Miss Barry, like, holding me back. Like, I don't even know this lady or the girl that he chose. So she's, like, holding me back.
Had you watched the entire season of season two?
No. But, I mean, I thought she was a gorgeous girl. I'm like, I would have picked her too, you know?
But it's just a matter of the fact that you had this really strong bond. You had all these experiences with him. And so, like, and without, like, giving you, like, an official, hey, I just, you know, I think that what would have been, like, the right thing to do in that situation from his end is if he had reached out to you and be like, hey, I just want you to know that I really like you. I think you're a great person. Thank you so much for being a part of my life. Thank you for being part of my show.
Like closure.
But just so
something.
You know, but just to just like stop calling and just expect you to just be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that you made it evident to him when you were on tour with him that you had feelings for him.
Yeah.
So it's not like.
And he knew. And he knew.
And plus you're being intimate and that's where you're like at least kissing and making out and whatever.
Right.
You know, so I mean, I'm surprised that he was surprised.
Yeah. So all of those emotions and like his reaction was 100% real.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So sorry that you dealt with that. That really sucks.
I mean, I didn't like expect and my intention wasn't to go on there and being like and crying and like showing my ass.
But that's not far from like, that's not far off from a real life scenario. Like
right.
If that wasn't a television show, if that was actual real life,
yeah.
Anybody would respond to the way that you did. Everybody needs to have that confrontation of like, why did you hurt me?
Right.
Like, what did I do to deserve you to hurt me?
Right.
You know, so like anybody would have done that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that far fetched.
You're so sweet. You're making me feel better about it. I'm like, yeah,
right. Yeah.
Like I think back now, I'm like, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, yeah, that's
fuck that. Fuck that shit.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. That really sucks. Okay, Bad Girls Club. Let's just get into that.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, that show, I can't watch. I got to be real with you. I can't watch the show, not necessarily season one, but that show got just vicious and brutal. And it's so funny because I can't tell you how many times Rock of Love fans are like, hey, Lacey, you should go on Bad Girls Club. And I'm like, hell to the no.
Right.
Because I am not about physical altercations, as evident by if you watch me on Rock of Love, like threw a girl into a pool and accidentally pulled on someone's what I thought was a wig, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't do like what some of the other girls did, like punch people and, you know, all that. It's not how I roll. I'm all about psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Not about throwing punches. And so that show just got freaking brutal to the point that it was like upsetting for me to watch.
Right.
And so you went in on season one, obviously.
And it was nothing compared
it wasn't anything
to what
like
it is
that.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I heard that they're doing like some kind of reunion for that. And I think actually let me go back and look at my notes. I feel like there's some other stuff going on that they're trying to do like a reunion or something. But have you heard about that? And would you ever be a part of something like that?
I don't know. It's been literally so long since the first season because it was like early 20s. I was a hothead. It was like, I didn't know anything about patience or anything. So it was like, then maybe.
That's what they're counting on.
Right. Maybe back then, yeah. But now, no. Like, I'm not mentally.
You're like a mom where, now.
It's been so long ago. I've been through, you know, done so much therapy and like so many things have happened in my life to where it's like, I don't think I can like be prepared for something like jump off like a physical altercation. Like,
yeah,
I can't afford that.
No,
you know, so
I'm always like, what's the point? You know,
yeah.
like what I loved about Flavor of Love and some of these other shows is that when the girls were shitty to each other, it was always the way they did it was always really funny.
Like catty funny.
Yeah, exactly. And something like we watching at home could laugh. And then, you know, New York had like so many iconic one-liners that were just hilarious.
Yeah.
But like on Bad Girls Club, I feel like they were just screaming and like it was like full aggression. It wasn't even
no
like
holds bar.
Funny. It was like, holy shit. It was a whole different thing.
Like
right?
liability-wise.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, it was already like really high energy and very intense and like scary waking up every day, like knowing that something was going to like pop off like an argument. But like nobody except for like maybe Ripsy got physical with Jody with the girls.
Yeah.
And us like verbally fighting, but nothing physical like that happened like these other seasons.
Yeah.
Which I love watching the other seasons because I'm like, holy shit, you know, like
but
entertainment.
You like dodged a bullet.
Yeah, dude. I'm like now I'm like, I get all like, you know, I'm like sweating, like all like excited watching the new seasons and stuff. But
yeah, it's like Jerry Springer meets
holy
reality.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's did hardcore.
Did you keep up with any of the girls from that show?
I'm still friends with Andrea.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. And
oh,
she replaced somebody with me also. Like we entered the house at the same time.
Why did you guys end up replacing somebody?
They just I don't know why they wanted to go home or One of the girls got in a fight with one of the other girls, like a physical, like a really bad fist fight. And then the other girl was just like, I can't do this shit anymore. Like, I got to go.
And I'm out.
Yeah. And yeah. then I guess we were the backups.
Oh, wow.
So they called us out of nowhere. They were like, did you want to do this? And we're like, okay.
And sure. So how long were you actually there filming for? Because some of the fans are saying that it didn't really seem like that long, the amount of time that you were there.
I mean, 2 months.
Oh, you were there for 2 months?
Yeah, because I feel like it was like 4 months because these were the people that filmed.
Oh my God, they were there for 4 months?
Yeah.
That's insane.
They were the ones that filmed Real World and that's how long they would film for. So it was a long fucking time.
Wow.
Yeah.
God.
So even my short time was a long time.
Wow. Yeah, and like on the shows that we did, like was Ray J about a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, same with Rock Love and Charm School and all that. So like that even felt like the longest month ever. You know, I can't imagine. Jesus Christ. So, well, girl, we are out of time, but I just want to say thank you again for stopping in and coming to the studio. And I love having you, and I'll definitely, we'll have you again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I have a great time with you. So,
same.
Yeah.
Same. I could talk to you for like hours. Like, what else are we going to talk about?
I know, right? So I'm going to put your Instagram information in the description below of the YouTube video, but you could go ahead and tell everybody how to find you on Instagram.
At JoJoReality1.
JoJo Reality.
This
is my good radio.
My sultry voice.
Yes, a radio voice. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Oh, and so to tell you about the big surprise that I talked about in the beginning of this episode, you Rock of Love fans are going to be so happy. Okay, so remember many, 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 many episodes ago, Farrah came on to Talk of Love and she was talking about how her and Ashley had had a falling out like many, many years ago. They had not made up, at least not as of the point that Farrah came onto the podcast. And that was such a bummer because similar to you guys, I loved Rock of Love Bus and I specifically loved Farrah and Ashley and the Blonde Tartar. They were so, so, so funny and they absolutely should have had their own show. So fortunately, Farrah and Ashley have made up. And so they are friends again. They're talking again. So of course, I invited them onto the podcast and Farrah and Ashley are both going to be Skyping together next Monday. So you are not going to want to miss that. Be sure to check that out. And then the following Monday, I'm bringing actually Safiri, who was on a few months ago as well. And I told you guys that we were going to do a part two with Safiri. So she's coming back as well. That'll be the following Monday. So we've got awesome stuff coming up. So be sure to keep watching this podcast. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to hit the subscribe button. And also, I want to encourage you guys to become a contributor. We've got just like an awesome family of contributors. And in fact, if you contribute the minimum of $5 a month, you get all kinds of cool rewards at different tier groups. But everybody who contributes gets to be a part of the private exclusive Talk of Love Facebook group, which is really fun. It's just like a really great community of people where we talk about these shows and talk about music and all kinds of stuff. So yeah. And also, one of the rewards I'm also offering for the contributors is the reaction videos. I have it now that if you don't want to get one a week, if you want the whole season all at one time, if you contribute a one-time flat fee of $25, then I will send you your choice of the reaction videos for the entire season of Rock of Love season one or Charm School with Sharon Osbourne, which is season two. And now I'm just about to finish Flavor of Love season one. So I can send you the reaction videos for that. All of the money goes to paying for this podcast. So, and you can also use PayPal, Venmo, and Cash App to make your contribution. So try to make it easy. And speaking of contributors, also, I want to give a shout out specifically to Zena, who's my girl. She's been a very loyal contributor. And Zena, thank you so much for all you've done for the podcast. And Zena specifically is very passionate about an incredible organization called Wounded Warrior Project. If you go online, woundedwarriorproject.org, they're an excellent nonprofit organization that helps veterans. So, and lastly, I want to give a shout out to some of my other contributors who have just been a part of this for months. I mean, pretty much since the beginning, and I owe them a shout out. Joey Sapinski, Jen Grogan, Mike Paquette, Jesse Ortiz Lara, Ann Cooper, Janine, Tara, Camille, Alex, Barry in Scotland and Pete in the UK and Brooke McDonald, Nathan Tosh, Laura Golding, Josh Murray, Mike Stender, Chris Gifford, and Justin Ortiz. That's just a few of you, but I just want to say your names because you guys, I feel like I know you now and you guys have helped out so much with this podcast. So I just want to say thank you. So anyway, go visit the website, talkoflove.net, and make sure you hit the subscribe button and the thumbs up. And I'll see you guys next Monday with Farah and Ashley. Take care of yourselves, guys. Wear your mask and don't threaten me with a good time. Bye, guys.